asylum. For a terrifying tale of fear, lust, and insanity.
Live at AsylumFantasyFootball.com, it's the Tuesday Night Blitz.
Yes, indeed, we're Fleeger and Brig. Welcome into the Asylum and drop us a line at AsylumFootball@gmail.com.
You might want to clear that out of your throat, Rick. On Twitter, at AsylumFootball.
Gmail. Now, and all you locals, 88.1 FM, WSRU, the voice of the rock.
All right, Rick, we're getting to the end of June, the last show in June, and unfortunately, like I've said, many an opening the last few weeks. Just not a whole lot going on, my friend.
Oh, there's lots going on. MJD's cleared. Inconclusive video.
You save that for the police blotter, my friend.
Well, I know, but that's headlines. We can bounce it real quick.
All right.
Nobody's injured that I know
of. That's the problem. Somebody's got to go down. So we find out where Michael Turner goes. So I don't know, Rick. We got a couple headlines. We're going to spend a lot of time in the police blotter. News that broke here on the asylum last week, I'm pretty sure. The news of Aaron Hernandez. We'll get you updated on all that. A little bit of fun, a commercial. Probably most of you have seen, but if you haven't, you have to hear this. And then, Rick, that's why there's got to be 700 people in the chat room tonight, because word is out we are playing Fact or Fiction here tonight on the Asylum.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No,
all right,
that's amazing.
Well, little behind the curtain for the all seven of you listening. When we do Fact or Fiction, it means we've got nothing else to talk about.
Well, we can go behind the curtain or get the box.
What the hell is the box?
You never seen Let's Make a Deal?
Oh, well, no. That was back in the 60s when you were in your 40s. So anyhow, Rick, couple of headlines. Ray Rice not worried about sharing carries with Bernard Pierce. I find this interesting, Rick. We talk about it. We spent the last couple of shows surprised Ray Rice falling down to that 8-9 spot, and you know, talking about Pierce, looking back at last year, 78 carries in the last 8 weeks of the year, looking to take about 30% of that workload. Ray Rice not worried about it. Benefit to Ray Rice, hurt Ray Rice, sort of a wash. Benefit to Pierce, are you handcuffing Pierce? I'm not sure what to do with this news, and this may answer the question for us finally of why he continues to drop as far as he does.
Well, you know, a lot of people have been talking about this and on some of the different podcasts and shows and so forth. And, of course, a lot of it's speculation, but, you know, one of the big factors are looking at Jim Caldwell's brought in, going to be more of an air first type of offense. I'm not sure I'm buying that yet. I mean, Anquan Boldin is gone. I'm sure they're going to try, but Ray Rice had, I believe it was 61 or 62 receptions last year, and I don't think that's going to drop by any stretch of the imagination. And let's not forget, you know, the Indianapolis Colts certainly had a guy by the name of Edgerrin James that was an RB1 fantasy-wise through and through, and they were pass first as well. As far as Bernard Pierce, yeah, he'll probably get some work. I mean, the kid looks good. But Ray Rice is a young guy. He stays healthy, and he's a dynamic player. I'm high on him.
Yeah, I mean, look, Pierce, a true change of pace kind of back, works out well. And I think you hit on it in terms of, are any leagues not PPR anymore, Rick? Probably not. So when we say all this, we're obviously looking at it through the PPR lens. But you're right, Rice is going to get his 60 or 70 grabs, so he doesn't need 250, 275 carries to do it. Pierce can take 30% of those carries. Ray Rice is going to do it with receptions and with yardage through the air. So I think one thing to watch out for, Rick, although it seems their goal line offense is Pitt or Dixon throwing the ball, but who's going to get those goal line carries? Is it Pierce as the change of pace, third down kind of back? Does Rice continue to get them? Maybe you worry a little bit about the touchdown numbers.
To a point, I still think that their offense is going to run through Ray Rice. I don't think it's going to run through Joe Flacco totally. I don't think he has the weapons. I like Torrey Smith, but now that Bolden's gone, I think a lot more weight goes on Pitta's shoulders and Smith as well.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see what Torrey Smith does this year without the possession guy that Anquan Bolden was. I think these tight ends hold a lot of value. So moving on, Rick, do you care that LaVon Brazil was suspended 4 games for violating the league substance abuse policy? Is that going to screw up your fantasy draft in any way?
Not a whole lot, but, you know, there we go again, a little police blotter thing.
Oh, yeah, that probably, well, he didn't get arrested.
He couldn't
squeeze it into
there. That doesn't really affect much anything.
You know, a guy that looked interesting a time or two here or there, but I think the Colts bringing in Darius Heyward-Bey with Reggie Wayne still being around with some of the weapons they have, I don't think LaVon Brazil was going to be much of a factor anyhow, and I'll be surprised if you see anything from him after those 4 games. And last thing I have as far as a headline, Rick, Trent Richardson, now it looks like he will be ready for camp with that bad shin. Here's something to keep an eye on. You got a lower body injury, a guy who's going to get upwards of 300 carries. This guy's going fifth, sixth, seventh, somewhere in there, again, on the C.J. Spiller factor where all that breaks. I'm worried. I don't know if Richardson, I love his skill set. He's going to be the feature back. Great, great running back, but his health scares me because of the amount of work he gets on that awful team. Trent Richardson's a guy, I don't want to say a void, but if I'm up in that 4, 5, 6 area where he's going, he's not my guy.
Well, he's not mine either. I heard an interesting debate on a podcast the other day, and one of the gentlemen had him ranked at 3, and another one wasn't nearly as high on him. I believe had him, don't quote me, it was like 9 or 10, somewhere in that range.
That's about where I would
be. I mean, I've got him at 10 right now. I don't really necessarily think he's injury prone. You know, I mean, he's had some injury problems, but it's really, you know, I don't think he's really injury prone, but I don't think Cleveland's either, although they're improved. Don't get me wrong. I think he's going to be an RB1. However, I just don't think that he's up there in that top 5.
No, not injury prone, but certainly banged up prone. And he's already banged. You know, we're in June, and he's already dealing with this shin issue. You know, good to see he'll be back in time for camp. Hopefully, they limit his work in camp. I don't think he really needs it all that much, based on the workload he's going to get come the regular season. And again, we're not going to get very far sitting here making an argument against Trent Richardson. The kid's going to put up numbers. But the amount of times he's going to touch the ball, anemic passing offense, I know they're improving. The offensive line keeps getting better. I understand all that. But it's still going to run through him exclusively. Who's behind him? Can you even name the guy behind him? Is that Oogity Boogity guy still there? I'm not even sure who's the number 2 there behind him. You just wonder if he's going to be able to stand up. I think you're going to miss some games and certainly some portions of games with Trent Richardson, which is always a concern with any player. But if I'm looking in that 4 or 5 range or 3 range, like you said that you heard the other day, I think it's a little bit of a risk for me.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a risk. Like I said, I think Cleveland's going to be improved and he's going to be an RB1, but you know, bank on missing a game or two, maybe even more. I don't know.
And maybe you figure a game or two out of any back. Probably.
Yeah, that's true. And it could be more significant with Richardson. He's a very hard runner. We haven't seen, you know, a long career of him yet, that's for sure. So we don't have a huge body of work. But I like him. But, you know, he's number 10 right now with me.
All right. Well, if you say it, it must be true. Well, Rick, it's time for the segment that is sweeping the nation.
Well, I think
show.
We'll...
Oh, you have more. Do I have to hold on?
Yeah, we just kind of... It was an interesting little story that...
not likely, but go ahead.
Tiki Barber calls Warren Sapp an idiot for his Michael Strahan comments. I don't know if you saw that story or not.
What did Sapp say about Strahan?
Well... He said that he would take Simeon Rice in the Hall of Fame before electing Strahan.
Okay.
And Tiki Barber.
The career sack leader.
Pardon me?
The career sack leader, right?
He would take him, Simeon Rice, over him. And according to Paul Schwartz of the New York Post, former Giants running back Tiki Barber didn't take too kindly to the comments regarding Strahan. Barber said, "Warren's an idiot." He just wants to say things to be idiotic. I played with Stray for my whole career. He is the greatest of the great. He is a great teammate. He kept things light. But on game day, he was serious as a heart attack. And Sapp said that Strahan's numbers were inflated because he lined up on the left side of the defensive line and was therefore going against right tackles as opposed to left tackles for the majority of his career. So that was just kind of interesting. So just what out I of find. Curiosity, okay. I looked up Simeon Rice and Michael Strahan.
Okay.
And, of course, they didn't, at least, you know, where I was looking, they didn't really have stats until like 2001 for you know, combined tackles and so forth. But what they had here was Simeon Rice had, I don't know, he just slightly under Michael Strahan's averages. He had one more interception in his career, which is no big deal. He had 11 more forced fumbles than Strahan. And you know, do they both go in? I mean, does it matter who goes in first?
I don't think. I think the real takeaway from this story is that Tiki Barber is questioning anybody, calling anybody out for running their mouth too much. This guy hasn't shut up in 15 years, barking in a little yap dog, trying to get himself on TV any way he can, making it all about him, and shocker, the year the idiot retires, they turn around and win a Super Bowl, the ultimate revenge. So that's the story to me. Tiki Barber, nobody cares about your opinion. And to call somebody out for running their mouth too much is just obscene to me.
I thought it was an interesting story.
Yeah, not really. So, Rick, let's get to something interesting. Here we go. It's time for the Asylum Fantasy Football Police Blotter. There's your bongos.
I'm starting to think Wi-Fi low would be good, too. Jack Lord. Man, we got a tip poster of Jack Lord up here.
What's a Jack Lord?
Oh, Lord.
All right, Rick, you led the show off with it. A MJD not going to be a charge, so presumably the almighty Goodell will hand down no disciplinary action for him. MJD cleared of all charges due to, I believe it was incomplete video evidence or something like that.
Wasn't Ben Roethlisberger cleared of charges?
Yeah, that's true.
Didn't he get suspended?
He got a good suspension, too. So haven't heard anything. I doubt any pending issues for MJD. So, Rick, let's talk about it. The news you broke here last week. You beat CNN. You scooped CNN, if I recall, or at least the chat room did. You read it all.
Sure.
Rick, what do you make of the Aaron Hernandez situation?
I was really hoping something big would break today,
yeah,
so we really could get on top
it'll
of it live.
5 minutes after we go off the air.
It'll be about 7:35. They'll do something, but yeah, things aren't looking good. I mean, you just look at a lot of the circumstantial stuff. You know, a car rented in his name. Of course, this is old hat. Everybody's seen it, heard this 1,000 times.
Yeah,
but you know, how do you make of it? I mean, you know, the car rented in his name, the body found in a short distance from his house. They hire a cleaning crew for the next day to come in. He smashed the security system in his house.
He smashed his cell phones.
The four were together the night before. Neighbors say they heard gunshots. Three of them were in the house the next day. The fourth guy wasn't, but he was dead. They, you know,
all the acts of an innocent man, if you ask me. Really.
There you have it.
But, boy, what a story. What I find most interesting about it is the investigation will be what it'll be. Rick, he did it. Come on. Number one, I think the greatest thing ever is they're trying to recreate the O.J. Simpson thing with the helicopters following his SUV around. I rather enjoyed that, trying to compare Hernandez to O.J. Simpson. Look, the guy did it. I think they're going to come
after
him.
He didn't run, so he couldn't compete with O.J.
Well, that's true, too. But my takeaway from this is what a bad guy he really is as his past starts to come out. And a lot of this news, there was the incident, he's currently being sued or being resued or something, shot somebody else in the face, drug suspensions in college. There's just a lot of disciplinary issues. What I find surprising is
he only missed one game in his college career due to failed drug tests.
I thought he missed
an
entire season.
Actually, the athletic director of Florida has taken, words against these kind of stories against him at Florida. He said he's taken aback by this, and they're, you know, the rumors of him missing or not passing six drug tests are simply not true. However, he didn't come out and say, well, how many did he actually miss and so forth.
Maybe it was five then.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to be really taking issue with them throwing darts that Florida let him get away with things and so forth and so on.
Well, you can't show a lack of institutional control at Florida, certainly.
Well, yeah, exactly.
So, you know, really no real update. Definitely a compelling story. Aaron Hernandez, attorney, issues a statement. I guess I could read that. Over the past week, our client Aaron Hernandez has been the subject of a relentless flood of rumors, misinformation, and false reports in the media. These include the repeated publication of a supposedly confirmed report that arrest warrant has been issued for Aaron. Which that I find interesting, Rick. They've been reporting that for a week now, and they haven't arrested him for this obstruction of justice thing. I'm surprised by that. I think they're sort of waiting for the smoking gun, if you will, but to move on.
I think literally they're looking for a gun. They're searching the water around the house.
Yeah, they were,
and so forth.
They were in there today. None of these false reports came from official sources, and we appreciate the professionalism and restraint shown by the Bristol County District Attorney's Office to date with regard to its public statements while its investigation is underway. Here's the bottom line, Rick. Again, number one, who's the third tight end in New England? Let's bring it back to fantasy football. Let's draft that.
I believe it's Jake Ballard, isn't it?
Jake Ballard. All right. I believe he's healthy, ready to go. Maybe interesting on the Tim Tebow front. Yeah, we've talked about it. Worry about
I think they have. Seriously, I believe they have. Last time I heard, they have seven tight ends on the roster.
Okay, draft all seven of them. One of them's bound to hit. So, yeah, unfortunately, Rick, I thought we'd spend a lot more time on this, but no news broke. Everybody's heard this ad nauseum for a solid week now.
I just think it really makes New England one of the more intriguing fantasy teams this year. I mean, they don't have Wes Welker. Gronk's a huge question mark. Hernandez, I believe, is gone. You know,
yeah, he's going to be in the clink.
Yeah, I believe so. You know, Woodhead's out of there. You know, Brady doesn't really have the weapons. I mean, you got Amendola. He's been known to be fragile. I think this is a real interesting team. You know, Brady has won Super Bowls with no weapons,
with less, no question about it.
So does Brady elevate his stock fantasy-wise? Do you approach him with caution? You know, Vereen's looking to pick up a lot bigger role this year now that Woodhead's gone. Ridley was still RB1 numbers, low end, albeit inconsistent last year, but, you know, still pretty solid running back. So, you know, I just think they're a very interesting team to watch this year.
Yeah, no question about it. I think that, and we'll talk more about this Brady thing when we get to Fact or Fiction. Rick, you scooped me again, just like you scooped CNN with the Aaron Hernandez story. I want to definitely spend some time on that. As a team and in terms of fantasy scoring, they're going to be interesting. It almost looks like those squads back when they were winning Super Bowls that had really no fantasy-relevant players save for Tom Brady, and yet they won games. So it'll be interesting to see there. So let's move on. That's it for the police blotter, Rick. Here's just a little bit of fun. It has nothing to do with football except for the spokesman. I don't know how to introduce it. You've probably already heard it, but I just found it, and it's the most fantastic thing I ever heard. So let's just take 30 seconds.
You're very simple.
I'm Tony Siragusa, and I've been around the toughest guys in football. And now I'm training guys who leak a little to guard their manhood with man-style protection of new Depend shields and guards. Who are you?
My house.
Perfect. Come with me. Built you a little man space under here.
How about that?
Sweet. See, Depend shields and guards are made to fit guys. That's awesome. I trained that guy. Now it's your turn. Go online for my tips to help guard your manhood with new Depend shields and guards.
All right, Rick. You knew I was going to ask you this question. You are at an, how can I put this?
I have had people tell me
I'm too harsh on you, so what's the PC term? You are at an advanced age, an age at which it might be time.
I am not in advanced age. I am a young, virile, strapping specimen
of
the American male.
I never want to hear the word virile in Rick Briggs.
How many kids you got?
Again. Just one.
I got three.
Well, I do that at the benefit of society. I could have 97 billion.
No, you couldn't.
Anyhow, at your age, you're getting near the age. I won't say you're there. You're getting near the age where, as Mr. Siragusa pointed out, leakage may be a concern. Is this a product that interests you, number one? Let's start with that.
If I can get Siragusa on the show.
Okay. You think he'd come on?
And maybe use them as a sponsor. I'd love them. I'd sit here and do the show in them.
Oh, yeah. I would wet myself the entire show if they're willing to sponsor and talk about each one and if I'm still dry or not. Don't get me wrong there, Rick. I got to assume Tony Siragusa isn't using these, number one.
Do they make him that big?
So does he have a massive drug habit? Why does he need this money so bad that you're willing to go on and pimp for male adult diapers? The other thing I'm hung up on, he says they're shaped for a man. What does that mean? I can't say that on SRU. But I guess there's a difference. I don't know. So I need to know what that means, too. I think if anybody from Tony, if you're listening, or anybody, it depends, is listening, if you want to send us a box, hit us up at asylumfootball@gmail.com. We will put these things on, and we'll test them out for you, and you'll give a live testimonial on the air.
Now, I would love to have Tony on, but I don't think he's going to come here. I mean, he's doing these commercials. I don't know why he wouldn't come into the asylum.
Yeah,
but
where else would
he gonna
go? But I just think it's interesting, Rick, these guys who are willing. I don't know, I guess, what's your amount of money? Would you give any pause, Rick, to doing that commercial?
No, I would. You know I'd give no pause doing it.
Well, you give no pause using the product. Again, I'll argue that we're only mere months away at this point.
I would give no pause running around naked if they paid me.
Whoa. Hold on. First of all, it's radio, so I'd be the only one that would suffer through that. All right, so don't go offering that up, and then all your minions in the chat room will be, yeah, do it, drop them, Rick, or something, and I'm the only one who has to see it, you and poor dog over there.
My poor dog.
Yeah, the poor dog. So what else you got over there, Rick? That's everything I had. We might be time to shut her down.
Well, here we go. I'm going to ask. I'm going to, you know, you spout off a lot.
That's true.
So I'm going to test some of your knowledge.
This never ends well for me.
I mean, the Wunderlich test was an abysmal
failure.
I think I
missed one, and it was a trick question.
Well, yeah, but
it was a trick question.
Okay, maybe we'll do. You know, any answers from the chat room, we're welcome here too. What person has led the NFL the most seasons in passing? Yardage, not...
So he led the league in passing for the most seasons. I'm going to have to say... Oh, it's probably some jerk back in the 40s when you were a kid that I never heard of. Is it modern? Can I see highlights in color?
No.
Figures. who's some old guy? Johnny Unitas.
No. This color of Johnny at night. Is he retired in the 70s?
Sam Baugh.
You got it.
Nice.
You got it.
Yeah, that's the only other old guy.
Yeah, don't
I've
we
ever
have
heard
any
of.
Soundboard?
Well, I have other things tuned up.
Okay. All right. Highest passer rating. This is modern here.
Okay.
Higher passing rating in a season.
Highest passer rating in a season, modern times. Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Drew Brees.
No.
Peyton Manning.
Yes, Peyton Manning.
Nice, I'm good.
Oh, yeah, the fifth guess.
There's a third.
Okay, the most consecutive seasons leading the league in passing yards.
In color?
Huh?
In color?
Yeah.
All right, so...
I won't ask any more old stuff.
Most consecutive seasons leading the league in passing yards. Peyton Manning again?
No.
Nah. Drew Brees?
No.
Mark Malone?
No.
Just a shot in the dark, Rick. Hey, you stumped me on this one.
Steve Young.
Oh, yeah, I probably should have known that.
Yeah. And, okay, let's see. Just do a couple more here while we're going, and then we'll get into a little fact or fiction. But most seasons leading the league in pass attempts. Now, this is a good one here. Pass attempts.
Okay, attempts. I would have no clue who threw the ball a lot. Manning, they ran the ball a little. That's got to be Drew Brees.
No, it's not.
One of these has to be Drew Brees.
It's not. This is not Drew Brees.
This is a stupid game. Who was it? Sam Baugh.
No, it's not.
Y.A. Tittle.
No.
He's a guy, isn't he?
Dan Marino. You ever hear that guy?
That guy. The guy from Ace Ventura, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Did he sell the gloves too, the isotoners? Do you still use isotoners?
I don't know if they do or not. Is that still like a product around?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Most passes attempted in a career.
Most passes attempted in a career. So it's some guy who played a butt long time. Probably pretty modern. Joe Montana.
No.
That's
terrible.
Drew Brees.
No. Think John Madden.
Think John Madden?
Yeah.
Why would I think of John Madden?
Because he loved to say his name.
He loved to say his name. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Brett Favre.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I probably should have known that. Is that your John Madden impression? Could you do that again for
me? No, I'm not good at that. I'm not Frank Caliendo. I'm not good at that.
Certainly not. You're not good at much.
Yeah. Well, I'm good at stumping your ass. That's for sure.
Well, these are stupid questions.
Okay, most passes completed in a game, and it is 45.
45 passes. Yeah, that's got to be somebody obscure, right? Or kind of obscure. Dave Craig. How about that?
No.
That's a guy, I think. He's the guy that fumbled a lot, right?
I don't know.
45.
Hey, Richard Todd is in tied for third.
Who's Richard Todd?
Huh?
That might be the douchiest name ever, Richard Todd.
He played for the Jets.
I don't care for Mr. Todd.
Sorry.
Most in a game. Dan Marino.
No, it was Drew Bledsoe.
Drew Bledsoe, really?
Yeah.
In the New England days, I presume.
Yes, it was against Minnesota, November 13th of 94. Most consecutive passes completed. Now, this is something you should know.
I should know this.
You should. Of course you should.
Why would I know this?
Why not? He broke Joe Montana and Mark Brunell and David Carr's record.
All right. So that was a clue. It came after Brunell, so it's pretty recent. Drew Brees.
No.
Damn it. One of these has got to be Drew Brees.
Oh, I won't even give you a question of Drew Brees just to fool you now.
You're a jerk. No. Who was it?
Donovan McNabb.
No, that's impossible.
24 against the Giants on November 28, 2004.
I'm going to presume 22 of them were screen passes then, as Donovan loved to bounce the ball in twice.
But it's an asterisk.
Ooh, okay.
Because it's not within one game.
You can't have the record.
Yeah, Mark Brunell actually has the one game record at 22. Him and David Carr are tied.
How is David Carr in that conversation?
Because he completed 22 passes, consecutive passes against Buffalo in 2006.
I'd be less surprised if you told me he
did. You have him on your fantasy team in 2006?
David Carr?
Yeah.
I certainly did not.
I figured you might.
Why would I have David Carr on my fantasy team?
Because you suck.
Wow. You're a little ornery today there, old man.
Thank you.
Is it time to get into fact or fiction yet? I think we can get in.
Okay, one more.
All right, thank God.
For the chat room, too. This is a good question.
The chat room doesn't care.
Well, they like playing games.
No,
I mean, sure they do. They've been having all kinds of guesses. They've all been wrong, but there have been lots of guesses. So.
Now, don't go talking smack on your boys over there.
Most yards. Well, no, I don't want to do that because it's Norm Van Brocklin again. Most games. 400 or more yards passing in a career, and it's 13 of 400 or more yards in a game.
Well, I thought Drew Brees would have done that already. 400 or more, that was fairly rare until recently. So I'm thinking I'm going to have to go back a little ways and say...
We have one guess. It's Warren Moon. That is incorrect.
I was going to go with Warren Moon, too, so thanks for that.
Yeah, jump on that bandwagon.
I don't have the foggiest rig. Brett Favre.
It is Dan Marino.
Back to Marino with the gloves and the Ace Ventura. All right, Rick. Thank God that is over. Let's
I think
move
you
on.
Got none on the first guess.
Well, no. But the reason everyone's here, Rick, it's time for Fact or Fiction.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to Fact or Fiction for fabulous prizes.
Fabulous prizes. What are our prizes? Those adult diapers, those men's diapers.
Maybe we can get an autograph from by Tony Siragusa.
You think he would do that? Does anybody know Tony Siragusa? If you're listening, you know Tony Siragusa. If you could get us an autograph box of the pens, and we will have a live listener interaction fact or fiction with a winner getting the diapers. Before Rick wears them, of course. All right, Rick, let's move on here. Time for fact or fiction. You're going to have to pad a little bit while I get the soundboard up, if you don't mind.
Well, padding is not difficult because fact or fiction, the rules are very simple.
That's true.
We ask each other a question, fact or fiction. We either hit that, which is fact, or that, which is fiction.
Simple as that. And our word is gospel. We will take no debate from the chat room or from any listeners at home. What we say is how it's going to be. Write it down, draft that way, and move on. Rick, I'll let you go first. I'll ask you the question back to something we were talking about earlier. Fact or fiction, Rick? Tom Brady will finish outside of the top five fantasy quarterbacks in 2013.
I have him currently ranked right now number four. I know a lot of people are approaching him with caution, but those four guys, Breeze, Brady, Rodgers, and Manning, until they kick themselves out of that top four, I got to have him in there. I mean, Brady has shown time again whether or not he's got the weapons or not. I know he's starting to get up there a little bit in age, but I don't think he's too old, and I think he's going to be up there.
Yeah, I don't see age as a factor, Rick, but I'm going to go with a fact on this one. I do believe he finishes outside the top five because, certainly, I don't think his skills are declining. If anything, the guy's work ethic, I'm not a huge fan, but the guy's work ethic, he's probably only getting better. I'm not worried about the lack of weapons. He's done it with a lack of weapons. But here's what he's done, Rick, with a lack of weapons.
He did it with Troy Brown, who also played cornerback.
Right. Right. But he's won Super Bowls.
Right.
At the time when New England was at its peak, Tom Brady was barely, if not at all, fantasy relevant. He was maybe the best gamer quarterback in the NFL. Once this 500 yards a game nonsense started when Randy Moss rolled into town in the year before that, they put up these huge numbers. They had these incredible offenses, but they didn't win. So what this team looks like to me, and I'm not, I'm not predicting they're going to run out and win the Super Bowl, although if I had $5 to wager, I'd probably one of the teams I'd certainly throw it on if it was my last $5. I look at this team, I see it becoming a more game management style. I see them running the ball more. I still think they win. I still think Tom Brady is certainly a top five NFL quarterback. But I think with the emergence, if, assuming RG3 comes healthy, the emergence of guys like Andrew Luck, we already have the other big three and Peyton Manning doing what he's doing. I'm so high on Cam Newton right now. You see these running quarterbacks coming in. Russell Wilson, I know, getting a lot of run. Don't want to argue he'd be a top five guy. But I'm talking, looking at fantasy.
Oh, there's a lot of people that are.
Yeah, I'm looking at fantasy.
Matt Ryan,
I think he's ready to jump up into that top five. I don't think it's going to be a reflection on Tom Brady or even this kind of season he's going to have. I think with the weapons around him, the question marks surrounding certainly the tight end position, now the wide receiver position, I think he's still maybe the one guy, if I had one game to win, Tom Brady might be my guy. But in terms of fantasy, I think we see a little bit of dip here. And looking at it just in terms of this is a guy, Rick, you were drafting late in the first round last year. Maybe he got lucky and he swung around to the second. Yeah, this is a fifth, sixth round guy. Look, if I knew RG3 was going to be healthy, give me RG3 over Tom Brady. Right now, give me Cam Newton over Tom Brady. Give me the other three in terms of Breeze, Rodgers, and Peyton Manning over him. You know, I'm down to six or seven right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, if I know RG3 is going to be healthy, I may take him too, but I don't.
No,
okay?
That's
a big thing right there. But right now, I got Rodgers, Manning, Breeze, Brady, Cam Newton. That's my top five right now.
Okay.
All your other guys are up there. Ryan, I got Romo at 7. I got Wilson at 8. I got Luck at 9. Right now, I'm sneaking Eli in at 10. I'm looking for a bit of a comeback from him. But I can't take Brady out of that top five for the simple reason – to your point, he continues to get it done, whether he's got the big weapons or not. In fact, I actually like him better as a game manager if his weapons aren't as flashy as they have been.
But
and that makes him maybe not as, I don't know, maybe not quite as many yards. But I think his touchdowns aren't going to dip. I really don't.
All right. Even if
Gronk, I mean, a lot of it is to me is going to depend on Gronk.
Certainly.
He's got to have him in there because if Gronk's not in there, you know, I don't know if Jake Bow is going to be a Gronkowski or an Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah,
he could turn him into one.
That was the next place I was going to go with that, sort of getting off topic. And I don't think there's any right or wrong answer at this point. Is Rob Gronkowski that good? Or is it the way he was utilized? Because anytime Aaron Hernandez stepped up into that situation, equal success. Can a Jake Ballard, can a Tim Tebow, can any of those other seven tight ends you're claiming are there in New England, could any one of them step into that role and perform that way? Have you seen what separates Gronkowski from these other guys? That may be more Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. That may be more that offense than anything than the individual player. Is Gronkowski or Hernandez that key?
Of course a lot of that is. I mean, let's look at the top tight ends. You got Gronkowski, Patriots, Brady, Jimmy Graham, Saints.
Yeah.
Drew Brees. Tony Gonzalez, Falcons, and Matt Ryan.
He did it on some bad Chiefs teams, though. Tony Gonzalez is a man.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. That guy is awesome. Don't get me wrong there. But, you know, let's not face it. Kansas City wasn't that horrible. You know, Dick Vermeil had him a couple of years. They had, pretty good run game at the time, even before Charles had Priest Holmes and so forth. I mean, they're not a bad team.
No.
You know, back in those days. So, it wasn't totally Gonzalez, but yeah.
But he didn't have Tom Brady and Drew Brees throwing.
Exactly. I agree there.
You know, I see, and I'm sure Gronkowski.
Jason Witten, Tony Romo.
Yeah.
I mean, there's another example right there. So a lot of it is, you know, they mesh together. Certainly the system has to favor a tight end, you know, getting a lot of looks. You have to have a good quarterback and a good chemistry. But I think that comes from good players.
Yeah, oh, no question about it. You know, I don't want to take anything away from Gronkowski. I just wonder, look, if Hernandez is in the clink and if Gronkowski continues to struggle and isn't ready to go, Jake Ballard's being drafted as a top five tight end to me. Yeah, I'll take him. You go ahead then, give me, I'm not going to have Graham, but run through Gonzalez and a few, and Witten and a few of these other obvious guys. That'd be a guy I'd certainly look at. I think it's more of a system thing than it is an individual player situation.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, like I said, good players, you know, certainly perform well in a good system like that. Yeah, Gronk is excellent. Don't get me wrong. I think a lot of it is going to depend because let's not forget, a lot of their powerhouse success is when Hernandez and Gronk were healthy. So even if Gronk's healthy and Hernandez is out of there, you still need some help from Jake Ballard and so forth.
Yeah,
and
certainly.
Amendola needs to stay healthy as well, I think.
I think Amendola intrigues me. This is a guy you could end up seeing top 15 fantasy numbers, assuming he stays healthy with what he can do. And you saw what he did with Sam Bradford. You give him a guy like Tom Brady and give him that Patriots offense. But I think you're right. You bring it up every time we bring up his name is his fragility. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Okay, I'm going to give you a little fact or fiction here. Fact or fiction, Vincent Jackson stays as a top eight wide receiver.
Well, top eight wide receiver. I'm going to say no, but it's close. All right, it's Josh Freeman scares me. He really does. For stretches, it doesn't get any better in this league for what that kid can do when he gets on a hot streak. And then he goes down the other way. They got Mike Williams in town. They got some good weapons. But when you're talking top eight, now's where I might either prove myself right or wrong. Now, let's run through them. Obviously, it's Megatron, number one. Then you got A.J. Green. Then you have Brandon Marshall. I like Dez Bryant ahead of him. I'm missing a couple of the big ones. Help me out here, Rick.
Okay, you want Calvin, Marshall, Dez, Roddy White, A.J. Green.
Jones, A.J. Green.
Do you like Demaryius Thomas better than him?
He's on that plane, but yeah, I like the upside of Demaryius Thomas.
Victor Cruz?
No.
Andre Johnson?
Yes.
Larry Fitzgerald?
There's eight, and Fitzgerald was the name I wanted to get to. He's the guy that moves up. We actually ended up at nine, so it didn't work.
Okay.
But Larry Johnson's the guy. Larry Johnson. I've been watching a lot of NBA lately with the You watch any of these, this has nothing to do with Larry Johnson, but it made me think out. You watch any all these ESPN 360 documentaries they do or whatever they go. These things are fantastic. I watched one on Chris Herron the other night. The Bo Jackson one makes me weep.
I did watch
did
Bo
Jackson.
Did you see
Jackson. The Fab Five one? That one's incredible.
Yeah, I'm a little over that one.
I don't know. I've watched it like eight times, and I'm still not over. That has nothing to do with anything. So not Larry Johnson. Larry Fitzgerald is who I meant to talk about. What'd they call Larry Johnson? Had a nickname, your mom or something with your mom. What was it? Grandmama. That was it.
Are you talking about Larry Johnson, a basketball player,
or
the running back?
The basketball player, not the running back.
Right.
The running back could play a little ball too for a year or two there. But Larry Fitzgerald's the X factor. He's the guy who was the top five guy. coming out of the season before last. You saw him start to dip in drafts going in, but still drafted as a top 10 guy. Just got completely crushed by that awful quarterback situation. Bringing just a better than competent NFL quarterback into that system, I think, propels Larry Fitzgerald. He could be up near the top five, really. So who are we talking about again?
It doesn't really matter that we were talking about Vincent Jackson. We had to talk about your ESPN 360 and all this other stuff.
My mind's all over the place today.
Your turn.
So, but I think 10 to 15 is sort of the range he falls in. I'll be interesting
for Vincent Jackson. 15.
I'd be interested to see what happens with Dwayne Bowe with Mike Wallace down in.
I love Dwayne Bowe this year. To be honest with you, I really do. With Alex Smith there, and Andy Reid, I'm high on Dwayne, but he seems happy.
A healthy Marquise Colston is a guy who always intrigues me that I think gets underdrafted in fantasy. Now, I'm not ranking these guys. I don't know, and I don't know where Vincent Jackson falls in there. Probably another number one. Give him a top 12 early or high-end number two, but to say top eight, is that where he finished last year? Is that where you got that number?
I just pulled it out. You know, top 10, top five, two generics.
Two
I
generics
wanted to use eight.
For Rick Briggs. So.
Yeah.
Right,
I had a little
there.
Question in the chat room. You know, no top nine wide receiver in Green Bay. Actually, I've got Randall Cobb tied for 10th right now.
Yeah, you know
I like the way Rodgers spread things around. I'm high on Cobb. And I don't know. But, you know, I think there's wide receivers that afford more value than the Green Bay guys simply because they'll get a lot more of the work. I have a feeling before the season's over, I probably won't have a top 10 Green Bay receiver. However, I may have three of them, you know, in the top 30.
Yeah, and I think that's what it's going to be. Or one of them's going to emerge. Does Jordy Nelson come back to what he did 2 years ago, which he couldn't do last year with his health? Is everybody else right and I'm wrong, which is generally how life works, and Randall Cobb's ready to bust out with Jennings being gone? Does James Jones parlay leading the league in touchdowns to actually receptions and yardage too? Or is it spread out equally among the three plus one or two guys you probably haven't heard of yet? That's what I wonder about. Will there be the one guy who's going to put up the top 10 numbers? I'm not sure right now, and I wouldn't feel comfortable putting anybody in that top 10 just yet.
Yeah, and I think they're just going to, you know, there's been points made that that a lot of people like Breeze better than Rodgers. I can't say a lot of people, but one person we'll be talking to directly here likes Breeze better than Rodgers for the simple reason things have improved a lot more in his mind for New Orleans than they did Green Bay. Green Bay basically in his mind stayed the same, whereas, you know, of course, Peyton's coming back, you know, coaching and so forth, and things are settled down in New Orleans. I think Green Bay actually has improved. Number one, they did have Cedric Benson. He went down with that Liz Frank. They had nothing really to supplement their run game. I think they've got two good running backs in there with Franklin and Lacy, and I think the running game is going to be fine. Jennings out the door, I don't think you're going to miss a beat.
I don't think.
And, you know, so if anything, I think things actually have improved a little bit for Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, and I don't know how we're trending into Breeze and Rodgers comparison here.
We're all over. Yeah. I talked about Larry Johnson in the Fab Five,
yeah,
so I'll forgive you for Breeze and Rodgers. All right, Rick, let's get back on track here so we can give away these fabulous prizes. Fact or fiction, Rick, MJD plays 12 games in 2013.
I think he will because MJD does what you think he's not going to do. I mean,
made me look like an a-hole more than one time on these airways.
I think he's going to be in good shape. The guy's a hard worker. We all know that. He had a pretty significant injury last year. It was, you know, you got to think it's healed.
He says it is. He says he's
right.
100% ready to go.
And I don't doubt him. I really don't. I mean, we talked about that in the last show or the week before. You know, some of these players, well, you know, I'm a little sore. I can't go. You don't get that from him.
No, he's a man.
I think
he's
going.
About Tony Gonzalez, he's a man.
Right.
He goes out and does it.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be a good running back this year.
Yeah, and that's the reason I asked this question, because here's a guy, Rick, trending ADP-wise right at the bottom of the second round is where this guy's going. So anybody can have this guy as their second running back, depending on their draft strategy. I have no doubt, and it's well documented on this show. You know, nobody's probably ever listened to more than one. They're each individually so awful. But if you have listened to more than one, you've heard me rail against the guy. I don't trust him. He puts up these big numbers, but he does it in a compact amount of games, and he has some games where he disappears. I hate this Jaguars team. The offense is awful. However, in the end, I have to admit it's time for me to back off a little bit. He puts up numbers. So the question becomes, if this guy is he going to be healthy enough? And if he is, this is a guy I'm going to target late in the second round as my second running back, assuming if I'm in the top 16, I have one of these, Arian Foster, Jamal Charles, one of these guys I love. Pairing him up with MJD, can I be comfortable enough that he's going to stay healthy? If he stays healthy, he's more than worthy of being a number one running back. Give me him over guys like Forte, Alfred Morris, some guys that are being slotted in as number one running backs. I could have this guy as my number two, and you're going to have a tough time beating me. So the question is he going to stay healthy? I don't know. I just asked the question to get the debate going. But this guy I'm ready to sign off on, and especially as a number two running back, could just put together some gorgeous fantasy teams.
Yeah, he could. And I'm not nearly as down on that Jacksonville offense this year. You know, they moved the ball through the air.
With Henny, and they're already trying to get Blaine Gabbert the job back.
Cecil Shorts really emerged. Of course, we got to deal with the Blackman situation. I mean, this kid's got to grow up a little bit. I think that's a nice duo if Blackman can keep his nose clean and Shorts can stay away from concussions.
Yeah. Both pretty big ifs, I think.
Well, yeah. But you supplement that in there with MJD, you know, he could be able to put up some good numbers. Oh, yeah. I mean, 2 years ago, he led the league in rushing.
Yeah, no question about it.
So, okay. Oh, geez, it's me trying to give away these fabulous prizes.
Fabulous prizes.
Okay. Calvin Johnson is still the number one receiver in fantasy football.
I like where you're going, Rick. I really do. I think A.J. Green could emerge. I think Brandon Marshall could emerge. I think there's any number of four or five guys that could emerge and end up on top of him. However, it's Calvin Johnson, and this is a generic answer. This is a cop-out. Until he doesn't do it, I'm going to predict he's going to do it. And I think I'd just be foolish not to. I think there are guys in the right offenses who could compete, maybe even outperform him. But I'm going to take the coward's way out and say until he doesn't, I'm going to stick with him.
I would have to tend to agree. Looking last year, 1,964 yards. I don't expect that this year.
Well, I don't think you ever expect that, yeah.
However, 377 points. In the fantasy scoring system that I use, Brandon Marshall was second at 355. I mean, just an excellent year in his own right. But right after that, Dez Bryant, third, drops 62 points behind Calvin Johnson. And that's how high this guy was over everybody else, him and Marshall last year. Does Marshall maintain? I don't know if either one of those guys maintains, which brings up the point. Your Dez Bryant, your A.J. Green, Demaryius Thomas, of course, with Welker in there, makes things a little iffy. Roddy White, Vincent Jackson again. You know, does anybody have a chance of dethroning any of these guys?
If anybody does, it's A.J. Green, I think, is the one guy. Yeah, Andy Dalton being the big question mark there. I feel more comfortable, not as much as I would have going into last year, obviously, but more comfortable with Stafford to Johnson than Dalton to A.J. Green. Probably, if there's one guy who can do it, it would be him. Sort of going to the point, the discussion we had last week, Rick, which is why I am not going to draft Calvin Johnson in that first round. I'll go ahead, if I got to have one of these top running or wide receivers, I'll go ahead and roll the dice with A.J. Green in that 14th, 15th slot, which is where his ADP is going. So if one guy could do it, he could do it there. I mean, you talk about it, it's hard to talk value between the first and second rounds, but if you want to talk a better value, it's A.J. Green.
Yeah, I'll tend to agree with you there. I love Calvin Johnson. If you know, let's face it, if you're under the strategy of loading up with wide receivers, yeah, he's the first one to pick. There's no doubt about that.
So I target if that's
right.
My strategy, certainly.
I agree with you. I think he regresses a little. He's almost the same conversation as Adrian Peterson. He's the best, but I look for a bit of a regression coming back. And things even out a little bit. He still may lead the league.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I don't think he's
going to
be dominating scoring-wise fantasy over everybody else like he did.
You don't see wide receiver or running back a lot of 2,000-yard seasons, which is about what you got out of both of those guys on an average. All right, Rick. Boy, we chewing up show. That's what I love about Fact or Fiction, Rick. This one's almost over. Fact or Fiction, my friend. Lamar Miller is a legitimate RB2 in 2013. Buying in, huh?
I think so. For an RB2, yeah, I think so. I mean, that's a top 24 running back. And, you know, I think Miami's going to be improved. He's going to be the starter. And, I think he's going to have some RB numbers. I don't think he's RB2 numbers. I don't think he's going to be a high-end RB2. But I think he's going to be legitimate.
Yeah, and maybe that's more the question then, Rick. This guy is shooting up ADP ranking, shooting up draft boards right now. Be honest, I don't know a whole lot about him. I still don't love that Miami offense. Don't really know what else they have down there. But this guy's getting a lot of run. I don't think he's even been – is he guaranteed that starting job going into the season? Now, obviously, these are mocks, and we're all going on the assumption he's going to be the starter. RB2, probably. Yeah, I can see that. I think more middle of the road, low end RB2. But the way this guy is just shooting up draft boards, that's what I find alarming. He's getting close to the second round as far as where he's being drafted, and that's what I find surprising with him.
Well, he's one of these kind of guys that the stock is doing some rising, and people are taking looks at other guys. For example, we did a piece a few weeks ago. I was doing some research. Every year, Matt Forte's stats have fallen.
Yeah.
You know, people just, I guess, maybe doing a little speculating on a guy like this. He's going to be a starting guy. Miami's going to be improved. Maybe thinking New England's not quite as dominant. They're playing Buffalo. They're playing the Jets a couple of times. You know, there's potential of some big yards there.
Yeah, and I mean, look, here's a guy going 41 now, which I don't think is a bad spot for him. 41, you're what, into the fourth round?
Yeah, all close.
Fantastic value. But he's moved up about a round in the last month, and I read a story. I apologize. I can't remember who wrote it. I want to say one of the guys on CBS I read that the way he's trending, he's looking to be a late second-round pick if this trend continues through into August. And that's where I start to question. Fourth round, second running back, and you've already got a quarterback and a wide receiver, your third running back, more than happy to take the risk with him there. I'm just not sure he's the sure thing that so many fantasy experts, as I do the air quotes out there, have him penciled in to be.
Well, you know, that's what makes this fun.
I guess. Because
the guy that hits looks like a genius, and the guy that doesn't, you didn't know what you were talking about.
It's never me, so that's why I hate fantasy football.
Oh, yeah, of course you do.
Do a different kind of show. I'm over this.
All right, fact or fiction.
All right.
This is one that's been getting a lot of run this year. Steven Jackson, top 10 running back.
Oh, top 10. As much as it kills me, as high as I am on Steven Jackson, I can't go with a top 10. So let's just go through the list again. Adrian Peterson.
All right.
Jamal Charles.
All right.
Arian Foster. Ray Rice. LeSean McCoy. C.J. Spiller. Trent Richardson, Alfred Morris, I'm up to 8. There's some other guys we talked about. MJD, I think I'd take over him, presuming he's going to be healthy. You know, now we're getting into, there's probably even a big name I missed somewhere, Marshawn Lynch. You know, there's 10 right there. So top 12 guys, you know, I think he's a high-end RB2 is where I think he falls. I think he falls in that 13 to 16 range, somewhere in there. The upside ability, certainly, with that offense, with not having to carry the load like he did in St. Louis, I don't think you're going to see 280 carries out of him in Atlanta. They're going to throw the ball a lot, obviously.
Which I like, quite frankly.
Well, that's my point. Could he, if he fits into that offense in a PPR format, could he creep up there? Could he do those things we saw, Riggs? It's been 3 or 4 years now since he was considered the lockdown number one best fantasy back for a year or two. Him and Chris Johnson were battling it out. Does he have that potential? Does he have that upside? Certainly. So here's another guy I'm getting as a high-end RB2, but boy, I'm loving every minute of that. So top 10, no. Top 12, maybe. Top 15, certainly for me. With upside, with top 10 upside, but I don't think he's there right now.
Okay. I mean, I really like him. I have him about at 11 right now. And I could potentially see him being moving up in the top 10 fantasy-wise. And depending on how Atlanta chooses to use him, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of stats he puts up in Atlanta.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, Rick, we have about time for just about one more.
All right.
I'll throw one out. Fact or fiction, Rick, Hakeem Nicks leads the Giants in receiving in 2013. And I think you know why I ask this.
Yeah, I didn't mean to hit it twice there.
Yeah,
but
you were adamant about this, apparently.
No. I still question his health. It worries me. And Victor Cruz and Eli Manning have a pretty good rapport. So I still think Cruz is going to be a leading receiver.
And the question is, does Victor Cruz ever show up?
Well, I knew that's where you were going. Right now, I'm assuming he is.
We're going to have to.
The word is they're going to let the contract take care of itself, blah, blah, blah. They're saying the right thing. So.
But what that tells me is he's not going to show up until the end of camp. It's going to be a Mike Wallace situation. You saw how he suffered last year going into it. You know, we can't take Hakeem Nicks' health concerns out, and they're going to be there. I worry if Victor Cruz doesn't get this settled up in time for camp, I worry that he takes a dip. If Cruz is there and healthy, I don't think it's even close. I think Victor Cruz is a number one wide receiver type of guy. But I just worry about it. I worry. You know how I feel, Rick. We talk about this when we get into August all the time. I worry about these holdouts. I don't like having these holdouts or these disgruntled guys on my fantasy squads.
Right. Obviously you have to pay attention to that kind of stuff. I don't like holdouts or any of that kind of thing right now. I'm just hoping it takes care of itself. You know, he goes into camp and everything's copacetic. So that being said, I'm going with Cruz. Certainly if he has a holdout or anything like that, I'm not all that keen. He starts holding out games. You know what happens when people show up from that.
Yeah. Injuries abound after that.
Indeed.
Well, Rick, we are really good at this. Come into it, zero preparation, nothing to talk about, and kill an hour, and we could probably go on for another hour.
Oh, well, I can go on. We can talk. That's one good thing we can do. We can talk.
That's about all we're good at. Yep. So, little programming note, I am going to be unavailable next week. Rick and I will actually be pre-recording next week's episode tonight with our good friend Dennis Farrell of 980. Rick, is it ESPN?
1090,
980, all the same.
Yeah. And he's also with, I'm going to break it, I'm sure he's already told, but he's with Roto Experts now.
And, of course, the Fantasy Sideline Show right here on Blog Talk and on iTunes. So we will be pre-recording with Dennis here. So we'll get that up on the site, and it'll be in our usual Blog Talk spot next week on Tuesday. So we will continue to have a contribution to the Blitz, but be warned it won't be live, so you won't get to chat with your boy Rick Briggs the entire show.
And, I apologize for letting all yins down.
You let him down.
Well, I won't be here.
Well, that's true. You could get on and chat with him anyhow.
Yes, we could. Yeah.
Get on and chat away.
There you go.
All right, well, that's it. Here's a new song for you, Rick. This is right up your alley. So we will be back in 2 weeks. There will be a live show next week. Until then, at Asylum Football on Twitter, asylumfootball@gmail.com. Thank you to our friends at 88.1 FM, WSRU, the voice of the rock. Until next week, we'll see you.
Take care. Homie, he's done up in front of his mama. I'm up the floor with him, and I can't.